are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your bonus episode for Saturday, January 4th. And that's right, a little bit of an emergency podcast to talk about the Andre Drummond trade rumors. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA. For the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. I hope you appreciate the emergency episode today, as it's obviously a big day in Pistons history as they're trying to maybe possibly make Andre Drummond part of Pistons history here in the next few weeks. Today we're going to run down the rumors and the news, what we know now about Andre Drummond. I'm going to run down some of the possibilities that you sent in, why I don't like some of them, why I really don't like others. Also going to run down the rumors that are out there from sourced information and speculative information from folks out there. And I'm also going to give my recommendation of the deal they should make and the possible deals they should make with all the possible suitors that might be out there. So give me a follow on Twitter as we follow this developing story over the next month. I like that we got some content here on Locked On Pistons, but give me a follow at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. If you want to hear about the game action from Thursday night and also the look ahead to Saturday and Sunday, go ahead and check out Friday's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. But just a reminder, Pistons are back in action on Saturday night. That is an 8:30 tip against the Warriors at the new arena in San Francisco, no more Oracle. So the new spot, and we'll see what that's like for the Pistons. And then the Lakers on Sunday back at Staples, 10 o'clock, late one there. We'll be back on Monday to recap all that stuff. Pistons 12-23, the new low water mark of the season after Thursday's loss to the Clippers. That is 11 games under 500. Like I said, kind of a bright spot, something new for those of us who want to kind of look ahead to a brighter future. And that is the news from today, the rumors from Adrian Wojnarowski, of course, the dean of NBA information. If he's reporting it, it's certainly true. And yes, the Pistons were granted a Woj bomb, really the first significant Woj bomb since they traded for Blake Griffin a couple years ago, the last day of January, I believe, in 2017. But the quote-unquote from the first Woj bomb, Detroit and Atlanta have been engaged in talks on a trade centered on Andre Drummond. Leaked sources tell ESPN no deal imminent, but Detroit is talking to Hawks and several other teams on Drummond, sources said. A second Woj bomb following off of that, with more context saying Drummond has a $28 million player option for next season that he is unlikely to exercise, forcing the Pistons to consider possibility of losing him in free agency. Among teams, there's an increasing belief that Drummond will be moved before the February 6th trade deadline. Adrian released a bigger report a little bit later saying, I quote, "The Hawks have discussed sending a package that includes a 2020 first-round pick via the Brooklyn Nets and the salary cap relief of expiring contracts for Detroit." League sources said a potential deal would include other assets. And then went on to say there is an increasing belief inside and outside the Pistons organization that a Drummond deal is growing in likelihood prior to the February 6th NBA trade deadline. League sources said the Pistons-Hawks discussions have included ownership levels with both teams, but no ideal is considered imminent, league sources said. That end quote from Adrian Wojnarowski. A tweet from Chris Haynes of Yahoo says, "One aspect to keep in mind pertaining to the Andre Drummond trade chatter is that he's really good friends with Trae Young." Vincent Goodwell, former Detroit News Pistons beat reporter, former NBC Sports Chicago Bulls beat reporter, and now national NBA columnist for Yahoo as well, tweets out, quote, "Boston, Dallas, Toronto have also registered interest in Andre Drummond, according to sources. Drummond has relationships with Kristaps Porzingis and Kyle Lowry," end quote. Didn't know that Andre Drummond was such a popular guy around the league. Brian Kilbrowski of Hoops Hype, a friend of the show. Vinny has also been on the show, by the way, and also Brian's been on the show. In a tweet, he says, and I quote, "One aspect to keep in mind pertaining to the Chandler Parsons trade chatter is that he's really good friends with Blake Griffin, end quote. Of course, Brian playing off of Chris Haynes' original tweet and using kind of the same nomenclature about the fact that Andre Drummond could be reunited with Trae Young, his friend, and Chandler Parsons could be reunited with Blake Griffin, his friend. Those guys, friends from the L.A. scene back in the day when Blake Griffin was with the Clippers and Chandler Parsons basically pretended he was from one of the teams in L.A., dating actresses and supermodels, and the life that you and I know all about, that in L.A. life. And, of course, those guys spotted on the yacht this past offseason with the ladies around, all that good stuff is too. But it's funny because all the NBA talk, remember 10 years ago and less, it was the Banana Boat crew, right? LeBron James is going to team up with Carmelo and Chris Paul and all those guys from the Banana Boat crew. And now this is like the second tier team up of crews out there, the very bad version of the second team team ups that these guys are going to have. But I do believe that one of these quotes, one of these tweets, it matters. It's a relationship that matters that's out there in the NBA that could be a reason why one of these trades gets made. We're going to talk about which one of those is the one that matters. Also going to break down the trades, your ideas, and what I think about them. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on in the show, I'm going to tell you the Andre Drummond deal that I want to do, but I kind of want to run down the Atlanta assets for you guys. Obviously, the primary team that people are looking at, as it's been reported by Adrian Wojnarowski, that they're in discussions with Andre Drummond or with the Pistons about a possible Andre Drummond trade. First of all, the draft war chest. Atlanta does not have a second-round pick this year or next year. Worth noting, they have their own from 2022 in terms of a second-round pick, that double draft, which is kind of a nice one to have. That's one. That's the one that you would want if you're talking second-round picks with Atlanta. But then they have all sorts of extra ones from 2023 and beyond. Three of them in 2023, three of them in 2024, and two apiece in 2025 and 2026. So you would expect a deal to have one of those tossed in way down the road to kind of appease the Pistons to replenish a little bit of their stock, but not any really available in these next couple years. So kind of an interesting haul of second-round picks that the Atlanta Hawks have. They also have the 2020 first-round pick from the Brooklyn Nets, but that is a pick that is protected for selections 1 through 14. Now, with Brooklyn playing pretty well and kind of on the trajectory that they're on, looking at kind of a late teens, maybe even the 20th or early 20th, early in the 20s pick there in the first round. Also protected 1st through 14th in 2021 in case the Brooklyn Nets fall off the wagon, but you would imagine that with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in-house next year, that certainly that pick would fall outside of the 1 through 14. So protected 1 through 14 this year and protected 1 through 14 in 2021. Also protected 1 through 14 in 2022, but like I said, would imagine that gets conveyed by 2021 at the latest. If Brooklyn has not conveyed one of those by those 3 years in a row, again, very unlikely once again, then they will convey the 2022 second-round pick and also a 2024 second-round pick. So it's not like this other one that I'm going to talk about that's a first-round pick kind of only in name only. You're going to end up getting a mid to late first-round pick out of that one. But the second incoming first-round pick that they have, a little bit less attractive, is the 2022 first-round pick from Oklahoma City, protected 1 through 14 in 2022. We know that Oklahoma City is a team that's in a little bit of a rebuild right now. 2022 is a long ways from now, but tough for a smaller market team that's not completely bottoming out to get really good. It's going to take a lot of savvy moves by that team, but we know that Sam Presti might be up to that task. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, obviously a decent little building block for them. But if they don't get that pick conveyed in 2022, a first-round pick protected 1 through 14, then it conveys to two second-round picks, 2024 and 2025. So a little bit worse of a first-round pick there that the Oklahoma City one as compared to Brooklyn. And obviously, you want assets as soon as possible. If you're talking about a first-round pick, other than considerations of which teams might be good and which teams might be bad, all other things being equal, you'd rather have assets now as opposed to picks down the road because you can draft players with them and make moves with them in a quicker area. That's why you see like things like Kyrie Thomas, the Pistons giving up two future second-round picks to get one future second-round pick in that draft. a couple years ago there. So if that Oklahoma City pick does not convey, obviously that's owned by the Atlanta Hawks right now, that adds to the war chest of second-round picks that the Hawks could have at their disposal. So now you're talking about 4 second-round picks in 2024, 3 of them in 2025. So those picks are very expendable by the Atlanta Hawks. Looking at their cap sheet and roster, expiring deals, Chandler Parsons, dead weight at $25 million. Evan Turner, nearly dead weight at $18.6 million. The Hawks have reportedly talked to them about being inactive the rest of the season. So you got to believe that those guys are either going to be traded or possibly even bought out if they're not traded by the end of the season. Allen Crabbe, $18.5 million, the guy who actually plays off the bench, but not certainly worth that dollar price point. Alex Len, $4.1 million. Probably the most useful out of the first four guys. Certainly not a very good center or anything like that, but at least a body at $4.1 million. And, of course, Vince Carter, the corpse, at $2.5 million. Hey, why don't I jump on the farewell tour for Vince Carter? But the assets for them, Trey Young, John Collins, you're not getting anywhere. Talking with those guys, Kevin Herter seems like a stretch as well. Second-year guy, not likely to land him in this deal, particularly given the expiring nature of Andre Drummond's contract, expiring pretty much. DeAndre Bembry is a guy that I kind of like another year on his deal at about 6. And the team also drafted DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, and Bruno Fernando this year. Interesting names, all of those. DeAndre Hunter is probably a can't-touch guy. Cam Reddish is not a very good player, but you'd think that it might be out of this discussion a little bit too because he's another top 10 pick for better or for worse. It's certainly not the value that you would get for a top 10 pick this past season. But again, a big disappointment of a player in his 1 year at Duke and also so far this year as well. Bruno Fernando out of Maryland is a guy who is a nice body, and I liked a little bit of his offensive game when he came here and played against the Pistons. Really a value, kind of a nice little asset for them. So can the Pistons land a player like that in addition to expirings, in addition to or maybe substituting for some picks? It's a complicated process in a complicated equation. Vince Ellis of the Free Press reporting that the expiring contracts, whether that be just Chandler Parsons or maybe a combination of something like Evan Turner and Alex Len for Andre Drummond and throwing in that Brooklyn pick, is something that's been discussed. Vince just reporting that it's expiring and the Brooklyn pick being discussed. Rod brought up in his article that in either Chandler Parsons or possibly Evan Turner and Allen Crabbe, maybe throwing in Len to make the salaries work with Turner and Crabbe, is something that could work. And the framework that was discussed in an article on The Athletic by James Edwards said that something like Chandler Parsons and that Brooklyn pick would be something that the Pistons should be pleased to get and something they could expect to get. Wanted to crowdsource a little bit and talk about some ideas from you guys. Let me pull up my Twitter account here and pull up the mentions. I got Jeremy Winwright, 3, on Twitter saying a trade around Hunter and Reddish would be where I would start. Again, Andre Drummond is an expiring contract, basically. I mean, he has a player option, and like I said, I've expected all along that he's going to pick up that player option, whether that's in Detroit or Atlanta. I am not wavering on that. I think that this leak is coming from the Detroit Pistons. I think that the extended leak from Vinny Goodwill showing that there might be 3 other teams interested kind of proves that point there. I don't know what Atlanta really gains in terms of leverage from talking about that they're in this conversation at this point. But given that Andre Drummond, like I said, an expiring deal, the Atlanta Hawks could sign him this coming offseason. Obviously, the bird rights and your ability to pay him a little bit more on the open market is one of the reasons why you would acquire him in a trade as opposed to waiting to re-sign him. But given that you're talking about, in addition to the bird rights, just a couple months of Andre Drummond, I don't think you're definitely not getting DeAndre Hunter, and I don't think you're getting Cam Reddish either. But that's where Jeremy wants to start the discussion. Sly, my guy, proud dad in the D is the Twitter handle, says he's looking for Parsons, Reddish, Fernando, and the pick, or the Oklahoma City pick, so Brooklyn or Oklahoma City for Drummond. That's too much. You're not getting that. Parsons has an expiring contract. Reddish and Fernando and the pick, like I said, it's just not going to happen for Andre Drummond. It would be great, and certainly you would do that deal if you're Detroit, but not going to happen. I'm looking at some more of these mentions here. Rob Ulrich, 12, says need more than the Nets first and salary filler with Parsons. throw in their own first won't happen, or a second plus Damian Jones. Again, agree with his first sentence that you might need more than the Nets first in salary filler with Parsons, although that might be the only deal that's on the table. But Rob kind of pushes it over a line of fairness, asking for their own first, which that ain't happening, or a second plus Damian Jones. I don't see that happening either. Maybe just a second. I could be see that possibly happening here. Jimmy Hall on Twitter says the Hawks have the picks to get him and the space to do an extension. That's going to be the thing any team who trades for him wants to know. Will Andre opt into his next year of his contract to make it happen with any of those teams? That's a big question and something I could foresee happening for the Atlanta Hawks to make that deal and for the Pistons to possibly secure a little bit more on the asset front for him if Atlanta knows they have that guarantee of having him next season. Marquise M. Taylor 313 on Twitter says, to be honest, bro, here's my take on everything. This team literally has not had a true rebuild since the 90s when Hill, Hunter, and Houston were drafted. There needs to be a youth movement where we groom our players like Denver and Utah are doing. I'm in favor of any trade that allows us to develop young players and give us cap space. I don't have any trade scenarios, but want this team to have some damn direction. I'm with you there. And Freddy the Pizza Man, our guy, says Gores and Drummond for Trae Young. Yeah, let's do that. We'll make that deal any day of the week. But yeah, some good suggestions out there. And like I said, the framework that James talks about in his article, Chandler Parsons and just the New Jersey pick, talking about how weak this draft is. We know that. And I understand that. I understand why Atlanta wouldn't want to give up more than just that pick as far as an asset to acquire a guy who could be a free agent upcoming this year. But I can see Arn Tellem working. I can see Ed Stefanski working, doing some leak into Vinny Goodwill of Yahoo, possibly driving up the price, maybe bargaining out there, trying to get more of a chip than just Chandler Parsons and that Brooklyn pick for Andre Drummond. I think that makes a lot of sense. So up next, I'm going to tell you what I think they should do, what I want the Pistons to do. That's coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, just went through a whole bunch of trade machines and trade scenarios out there, and here's what I would do. I would give you a little bit of a blueprint, a couple different options of what the Pistons might be talking about. We talked about how the Chandler Parsons and the Brooklyn pick, I'm kind of assuming that that's been offered by Atlanta right now and turned down by the Pistons. First thing I would do is reject that offer, but I would counter with throwing Bruno Fernando into that pick, into that trade. I would do the deal if they accept that, but I don't think that they would make that happen for a young big like that who could be an impact player, not an impact player, but a fringe starter or maybe a nice bench piece down the road, or possibly, you know, who knows, maybe it could be an impact player, a little bit upside there. So I would, like I said, I'd ask for Bruno Fernando to be thrown into that deal. Assuming they do not do it, then I would work the phones. Then I would do exactly what the Pistons seem to be doing. They would call up the Torontos, the Bostons, and the Dallases of the world and get their offers. Looking at the Toronto and Boston situations, I don't see a lot of avenues for easy trades. You'd have to make them real complicated and just kind of turn them into bigger and bigger deals as it goes on. And you know that somehow those might get tripped up. It's just not very likely that 2-for-3 type of trades happen. Looking at Toronto, they don't have a lot of draft capital. They have their own first-round picks, but we know that those are going to be pretty low in the first round. They don't have a lot of young players that they'd want to give up. I mean, Fred VanVleet's there, but he's a piece for a team. Complicating because Toronto and Boston are teams that want to make legitimate runs in the Eastern Conference this year. And sure, Andre Drummond helps them. He's a good player, but they don't have a lot of easily expendable assets that could help out the Pistons. Boston doesn't have easy salaries to trade. They've got real big salaries and then the rookie deals that obviously they're not going to be giving up a Jaylen Brown or a Jason Tatum. Marcus Smart's kind of like that only mid-range type of guy. And we know how much of a leader he is for the Celtics, kind of the soul of the team in some ways. Dallas has a bunch of pieces, but none of them are all that really attractive. Obviously, outside of Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, you're talking about some salaries that could be friendly in types of deals if you want to build them up, but none of them that really move the needle all that much. Not a lot of young expendable players or a lot of draft capital either. They traded their first-round picks to New York, and then because of the Stepien rule, they basically can't trade a first-round pick for the next 5 years. And again, these teams are interested. It makes sense. Andre Drummond's a good player, but I just don't see fits. I see that they're making, I would imagine they're making calls, or that they're at least answering Arne Tellem and Ed Stefanski's calls. But hypothetically, from Toronto, I would ask for Marc Gasol and their first round pick next year. I don't even know if I'd quite do that deal, but I'd at least start the discussion there. And I know that that's a little bit worse of a first round pick than you'd be getting from Atlanta. Brooklyn right now is the 17th pick in the draft, but Toronto's 23. It's not that much worse. Marc Gasol is someone who, you know, maybe you think about bringing back next year. I don't necessarily think so with the rebuild the way it goes, but maybe Marc Gasol, if he comes back healthy relatively soon, I know he's hurt right now, maybe that's a piece that you could even flip for a team desperate for some defense at the deadline. He could be a guy that I could really see fitting in Boston, by the way. So maybe there's a three-way deal somewhere with Toronto, Boston, and Detroit. But again, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense for Toronto in that deal with the Gasol in the first. Again, Marc Gasol is injured right now, but he could come back. Or maybe you could flip him if you're Toronto to someone else if you really want to make a deal. But like I said, the three-way deal where Gasol lands in Boston, Drummond lands in Toronto, and maybe the Pistons just kind of get a whole bunch of mid-range assets and some picks as well. Maybe that makes sense that the Pistons get desperate or at least want to drive up the price with the Atlanta Hawks a little bit. Boston, in that case, we get their center. Toronto gets a younger center who could maybe be a difference maker for a team that would like to go on a higher trajectory with the guys like Pascal Siakam and possibly Fred VanVleet and then, you know, the Norman Powells of the world, the young guys that they're trying to build around. And Detroit would get, like I said, a grab bag of stuff, but not necessarily anything top flight. Maybe you get Toronto's first, Boston's own pick, or maybe Boston's Milwaukee pick that they have. Don't really necessarily think that you can get the Memphis pick in this deal. But if you can, maybe you try for it and work a three-way where you end up getting the Memphis pick. Dallas, let's talk about them. They can't, like I said, they can't trade their first for like 4 or 5 years, but they've got a whole lot of seconds down the road. So you could put together, you can get there and match Andre's salary if you throw together something like Maxi Kleba, who can't get traded until January 15th. Dwight Powell, I think, is in that same boat as well. Again, backup bigs that don't really move the needle, but at least they're filling up the salary. An asset that you'd like to get from them is Justin Jackson, a wing. Just not a guy who I get really excited about, but he's a second-year guy too. And you could throw in a salary to make it work, like a Joseph Reeves, a developmental guy from Penn State. Have him throw in a couple more seconds. Again, we're just talking about a bunch of assets that aren't really that valuable. So, but again, you're kind of trying to move the needle for Atlanta a little bit, maybe trying to squeeze Bruno Fernando out of them. But if you're just talking one-on-one with Boston, I would ask for Marcus Smart. I don't think you're getting him, but because Smart's got a reasonable contract, $13 million a year, 2 more years after this, I think he's more valuable than Drummond at an expiring at 28. So the Pistons would have to kind of sweeten that up with Langston, but then their salary number gets higher, and you still got to figure out a way for Boston to match that. So that gets tough. But here's a Boston trade that I kind of worked out on a trade machine for you guys. Drummond, Galloway, and Rose, all the Pistons' top trade deadline assets. You got to match the salaries. You got to get Gordon Hayward in there. He's got a player option next year that he probably picks up. So I got Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart, and the Memphis pick. So a really good first-round pick in a really bad draft. I could see maybe them being interested but not wanting to give up Memphis. Again, going to be hard for them to part with Marcus Smart. So maybe we'll settle for both the Boston and the Milwaukee first-round picks instead. Maybe try to flip those and move up in the draft if you like one of those top five guys to a team who might still be in asset accumulation mode. Tough. It's going to be a tough one. I think it's just a draft that you could maybe package picks and move up because teams might not love any of those guys in the first five. And if you do, maybe you can give up some first and get in there. If Boston's being difficult, maybe you could talk into just taking their first-round pick and a few second-rounders down the road instead. But again, you're talking about a pretty unlikely deal for a team like Boston, who's not really going to want to shake up the things in their roster too much, especially with a Marcus Smart type. For a guy like Andre Drummond, who helps you out, but and helps you out against Joel Embiid, helps you out against Milwaukee, maybe makes you a better playoff team than some of those centers that they might struggle with. But, man, I don't know. I just don't see Boston making that big of a shakeup. But Marcus Smart is a guy that I like, just for the record. But here's the trade that I would do. Again, I'd go back to Atlanta. I'd try to work up the price. I know that they want to just give up Chandler Parsons and the Brooklyn pick. We don't want to do that. Again, I would ask for Bruno Fernando, but they don't want to give him. So I would ask, instead of Chandler Parsons, I would still ask for expiring contracts, but I would make it Evan Turner and Alex Len instead. The reason being that you might be able to flip those guys, and they'll also be useful players for the Pistons this year. Len takes a little bit of the pressure and minutes off of Christian Wood, and Evan Turner helps take a little bit of the pressure for the development of Bruce Brown, Jordan Bone, and whoever else might handle the ball this year. So that's one adjustment I would make in the trade. And in addition to that, I would ask for the Brooklyn trade, which is apparently already on the deal on the table, but I would also ask for the Oklahoma City pick, the first-round pick in 2022. There's a chance you get that pick if it's a first-round pick. But again, top 14 protected. So you're kind of gambling that Oklahoma City is good two seasons from now, building around Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and whoever else that they're going to have. You kind of hope that Champ Presti can put out a good team in 2021, 2022, and that pick is outside of the top 14. Maybe you get lucky and it's a 15, 16, something like that. That could happen. Or you could get another top 20 type of pick out of that. Or it conveys to two second-round picks down the road, and that really wouldn't be so bad either. So I'd wait till the deadline, kind of slow play it, and if that's what it has to be, you might do that. You might say, we'll give up Andre, we'll take Evan Turner and Alex Len, we'll take the Brooklyn pick, and we'll also take that Oklahoma City pick off your hands. And if they don't want to do that, maybe you kind of ride off into the sunset, keep Andre Drummond, hold on to his bird rights, and maybe just take the cap space that he would give himself. But if I'm being honest, I probably would, at the last minute, pull the trigger on Chandler Parsons and just the Brooklyn pick. Or I would compromise somewhat and say Evan Turner, Alex Len, and the Brooklyn pick. You got all that? That's my thoughts on what the Pistons should do with the Andre Drummond conundrum. I'd love to hear yours. We'll play some more of your thoughts. Call us on the voicemail line, 810-666-1546. We'll play some of those. In addition to wrapping up the Pistons weekend action, I hope you've enjoyed the bonus episode of Locked On Pistons Podcast. It's your host, Matt Shook, saying talk to you guys on Monday.